What up, son? It's the tale of the tapes. The fuck life. Saying? And it's still tale of the tapes, motherfucker. I'm saying. So, Tale of the Tapes, Season 3, Episode 19. And on today's episode, we'll be covering Southern Underground hip-hop group Cunning Linguists. So, before we even get into Episode 18, let me just address something really quickly. So, last week, I had somehow thought was going to be the last episode in April, but was actually the first episode in May, so we should have read the list off the week before that on episode 17 covering Reef the Lost Cause and Idea, but it was done last week on episode 18 covering Bubba Sparxxx and T.I., so my apologies for that, but to be honest, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. That's just a technicality. You know, we're going to do 12 read-offs of the list each year. That's not going to change. It was on May 1st instead of April 30th. So, again, my apologies, but it really doesn't matter. I just wanted to clarify that and be clear going forward. But I hope to be back to the regular schedule this month and just read off the list again in the last episode of May. I don't really think it's a big deal. So, as far as my opinions and, you know, expectations, predictions, whatever you want to call it on Cunning Linguists, I'll keep them short, and to be honest with you, probably somewhat typical. I knew that they were from the South, and it's not that the South can't or doesn't have any lyricists, because, you know, Benefit, Ludacris, to name a few, are not only lyricists from the South, but top 10% lyricists so far. So I don't want to short the South in that area. That's not at all what I'm trying to do, but generally speaking, I don't really think that the South is as lyrical or, you know, like a lyrical. Like, I don't think that that's their number one strong suit. And I'm not saying that every single person or every single group or whatever has to follow that suit. But I just think if you compare the South to other regions of the United States, I think that certain regions excel in certain areas, and I don't typically think that the South dominates when it comes to the lyrical aspect. Now, that being said, this is an underground group where lyrics seem to be even more valued than they already are in, say, your more prevalent hip-hop, and judging from their group name, like, I remember when I came across, I had heard of them prior, but I didn't really listen to them or anything like that, and I knew that I had heard the name when I re-saw it, but it wasn't a group that I had really remembered about. And then when I was, you know, digging through names and digging through people, and I saw the name, and I was like, oh, okay, I remember this group name. You know, I know nothing about them, never ever heard anything from them, but I remember hearing this group name back in the day. But, you know, just from hearing that name, I just had this gut feeling that these guys would probably press that envelope of, you know, lyricists not typically coming from the South, but even just the underground Southern artists definitely intrigued me, because when you think about underground hip-hop in general, again, you typically don't think of the South right away, so it's kind of the same thing. It's not to say that the South doesn't have lyricists, but if somebody was to say, pick a region that will lyrically slaughter anybody else, I don't think most people would jump right to the South. The same way if somebody was to say, pick a region that runs the underground, I don't think that your average person would typically jump to the South right away. But anyhow, the point of everything that I'm saying is, I guess that I figured the group's members would finish somewhere around the middle or upper middle. So let's see, we got about 242 artists done. So let's say somewhere between 101 to 120. And that's kind of a combination of, they seem like an underground group that, you know, has some original artistry to them. But again, at the same time, they're Southern underground artists, which admittedly, to this point right now, I don't really know too much about. So I figured that some things might prevent them from being inside of that top 100, but other things would probably prevent them from falling behind the halfway point. So I took a shot at, you know, we'll say between 101 to 120. But to be clear, again, I knew absolutely nothing of this group or any of its members and had never heard anything from them prior to covering them in this study. So the group actually had a couple of member changes multiple times, which we'll get more into later. But Mr. SOS, who was really only on the first group album or two, did not make the cut. And I actually want to talk about this really quick because the other three members did, so the group and all of its material counted, as well as each artist's solo work. So even though Mr. SOS isn't being scored here today, I still heard all of his verses on the songs, and while he may possibly have finished in last out of the four group members, I'm not saying he would have, I'm just, you know, playing devil's advocate here and discussing both sides of the fence. While he may have finished in last out of all the group members, he wouldn't have been far behind any of them, so it's safe to assume that he would have finished not too far from wherever the last member finishes. But like I said, everyone goes through the same systems, and sometimes some particular songs that I listened to decide whether they were making the cut or not, they just weren't particularly great on and didn't make the cut. But again, the whole entire group as a unit was extremely similar, not only in technical skill, but in style. And he was also very similar to the rest of the group. He just didn't have as much material, to my knowledge. So keep that in the back of your mind as we finish scoring the group, that he was very similar, but probably would have finished more towards the back. So in the case that he was similar, but didn't really have the same amount of material as the other members seemed to have. So everyone was out as a group together prior to anyone having any solo releases, and the group's debut album was in 2001. So we're still in the calendar year of 2001 here, but next week's episode will be the last episode in 2001, and then we'll be on to a new year in 2002, obviously. So exciting stuff there. 2001 was definitely a very long year. A lot of artists this year that made the cut. But for now, let's check out some information on the group as a whole to start off with. Group's origin is listed as Lexington, Kentucky, United States. The genres listed as hip-hop, southern hip-hop, and conscious hip-hop. Years active are listed as 2000 to present. Members are listed as No, Deacon the Villain, and Natty. And their past members are listed as Mr. SOS. So definitely not that many people in this study so far from Kentucky, so that's interesting because earlier I talked about how you typically don't automatically think of the South when you think of lyricists, and you typically don't automatically think of the South when you think of underground hip hop. And now here we see that they're from a place that not many people have been from yet. So again, before listening to any songs or going into any major details about any of the members individually, we can already see that there's a lot of things different right away about this group. So a very intriguing group going into this, in my opinion. We also see the members listed as No, Natty, and Deacon the Villain, who did all make the cut, and their past members listed as Mr. SOS, who, like I said earlier, didn't wind up making the cut. So let's check out some additional background info on the group, and then we'll branch off into each particular artist, as we will be covering all three of them here on today's episode. Cunning Linguist is an American hip-hop group from Lexington, Kentucky. The group currently consists of Deacon the Villain, No, and Natty. So really little to nothing there as far as information is concerned, because even if you weren't aware of that prior to this episode, we just went over it 2 minutes ago, so we really didn't, you know, learn anything there. So let's just move on to each member of the group who made the cut individually now. We're going to start off here with No, because he was the first member of the group to have a solo album out, which came out in 2010. His birth name is Ryan Dean Weisler, also known as No Cash and Ryan Hathaway. His origins listed as Atlanta, Georgia. Genres listed as hip-hop and alternative hip-hop. His occupations listed as rapper, producer, and singer. And his years active are listed as 1999 to present. So first of all, we see No's origin there listed as Atlanta, Georgia, but we were told the group's origin was Kentucky, so again, we'll talk more about details on that in a bit, but I did want to just point that out before we moved on from it. Now, typically, I don't leave occupation in there because I don't think we need to make it known when someone is a rapper. They're obviously a rapper. If they weren't a rapper, they wouldn't be on this podcast, so I obviously just figure that goes without saying. The reason I left Nose in there is because initially he started out as just a producer, but by the group's first official album, he was rapping and then later on basically switched back to being just a producer. So I thought it was significant enough to leave in there. Also, we see that Nose years active are listed as 1999 to present, whereas the group's years active were actually listed as 2000 to present. But earlier I told you that the group was out as a whole prior to any of the other members having any solo works out, which is true. And we will get into more detail on this later, but there is a reason why that's listed like that. Like I said, we'll find out in a little bit. Other than that, not much I feel we need to discuss, so let's get into some additional background info on No. Ryan Dean Weisler, better known by his stage name No, is an American alternative hip-hop rapper, producer, and singer. He is a founding member of the hip-hop groups Cunning Linguists and Built to Fade. No is currently signed to QN5 Music and APOS Music. In 2010, No was named one of the top loop miners east of the Mississippi by URB. So, not too much new information there, but we do see that he was named one of the quote-unquote finest loop miners, meaning essentially beat makers, east of the Mississippi by URB. Now, just to clarify, URB was a monthly American magazine devoted to electronic music, hip-hop, and urban lifestyle and culture. It was based in Los Angeles, California, and was founded in 1990 by Raymond Roker. So while it may not hold the weight of a magazine like XXL or The Source or something like that, it's still a nice little cap in your feather, I'm sure, to just have somebody that, you know, runs some sort of company like that say that about you. But like I said, other than that, not much there to discuss, I don't think. So let's check out my write-up of No, and then we can get into the math. I had heard of Cunning Linguists from the underground scene. Not only had I never heard of any of their music before, but had also never heard of any of the members by name. No was very good with rhyme schemes and also good with multisyllabic rhymes. While there were times he didn't have perfect rhymes and stretch words a bit, he was very good at being able to keep a topic. He also showed the ability to snap on some verses when he chose to, leaving him well above average lyrically overall. While No had more of a rapper role early on with Cunning Linguists, he drifted more to the production side as time went on and only qualified 4 albums for scoring, 3 with Cunning Linguists and 1 solo. 2 of those 4 albums were classics and the other 2 were great, making 50% of his albums classics. Of his only 41 registered songs in total, 7 were great, another 25 were good, and not a single one was weak. That makes almost 80% of No's music good or better, which is absolutely incredible. While it isn't the lowest score we've seen in the study, a small body of work coupled with no major mainstream commercial success and no names on his list of artists influenced, impact was not No's strong point. He did, however, make up for that with originality. Between his voice, delivery, and rhyme style, along with original song topics and a not-so-typical southern sound, No was an extremely original artist in every way aside from the fact that he sampled a lot. So that actually sounded like a pretty solid write-up there overall for No, so let's check out the numbers and see where he finished. Lyrics, he gets a 6.5, and sometimes I point this out, sometimes I don't, but I do want to point out that, again, a small body of work, only 41 songs, 4 albums, and this dude was close to getting a 7. He was one of those guys that, from the moment everything started, you could tell, you know, from the first song, you could tell, all right, these guys are pretty good. They're not going to dip below average in the lyrics department. I don't know how high they'll climb, and I didn't know exactly how many songs this guy had until I finished him. But, you know, it was one of those things where you could tell they could rap, but the question was, like, how good were they going to be? You know what I mean? He was one of those guys that as time went on, he continued to impress more and more, where the things that he was doing good, he would do a little bit more often, and the things that were maybe losing him some points or even him out on some bars or something like that, he was doing a little less often, and that started going on. But like I said, man, only 4 albums and 41 songs, so I don't want to blow things out of proportion and make it sound like this guy was absolutely out of control, but honestly, in just a couple more albums, maybe 2 more albums or so like that, he definitely would have been over a 7, possibly even rounding close to a 7.5 had he continued at the same pace and the same trajectory that he was going. And like I said, basically the way that he got to that score for the most part was being very good with rhyme schemes and being good with multisyllabic rhymes. Like I said, there were other things in there. Sometimes he, you know, some words weren't perfect rhymes and he kind of stretched words to make them, they kind of rhyme, like similar to what Eminem did it a lot. He did it with orange and porridge and stuff like that. Like you're kind of enunciating the words a little bit different to make them rhyme a little bit better. But like I said, he was also very good at being able to keep a topic. There were some verses where he did go off and just snap. And I was like, damn, like he went crazy on that shit. So I don't want to make it sound like there weren't times that he did that, but he didn't do it on every song. But regardless, like I said, he gets a well above average score of a 6.5 in the lyrics department. So solid start there for No. Albums, he gets a 6.85 with two classics. And this is really, really solid stuff here. So a low number of albums for No, that is true. But not one album, not two albums, like Biggie, Big L, Big Pun, people like that. You're looking at like two albums for I think all of those guys. Maybe L might have had three. I can't remember off the top of my head, but all of them definitely under four albums that qualified for the study. So a low number of albums here for No, but a little bit more than some of the other people that really have low number of albums and stuff like that. So yeah, if you're really great on four albums, it's easier to be great on four albums than it is to be great on eight albums, than it is to be great on 16 albums. But there's two sides to that coin. It gives you more time to work on your craft. It gives you more time to climb your lyrical score should you be more consistent rather than snappy. You know what I'm saying? Like people like Big L, Big Pun, stuff like that. You got to understand how hard those dudes snapped on every song to get up to 7.5s, 8s, whatever they were lyrically on just two albums. So if this dude was the type of dude that just gradually got a little bit better with each album and was pretty consistent with it, aside from trying to stretch some words or something like that, you know, you would have had a guy that probably would have got a higher album score than that and a higher lyrical score than that the more albums that he had. Again, I'm just speculating, so don't read too deep into what I'm saying. I'm just trying to point out stuff and make a point, but at the end of the day, I mean, four albums, five albums, three albums, whatever it is, that 6.85 is a borderline classic album score. So we see two out of four albums score as classics, which is solid in itself. To only have four albums, you're limiting yourself to the possible number of bonus points that you could get for classic albums, because even if you were batting 100%, you would only be getting the 4 points. Now, I'm not trying to downplay the 4 points. The 4 points is huge and it's important. But when you got people like Eminem and Jay-Z with 15, 20 albums and stuff like that, there's a possibility there for 15 or 20 extra points. Granted, I know nobody's going to get all of them like that. Even Eminem didn't come close to getting 100% like that. But to have a 50% or an over 50% ratio like that is really, really solid. He also scores the extra 2 points for the classic album. And like I said, that album score winds up being a borderline classic album score. So really, really solid stuff there in the albums department for No, with the only knock being that there were only four albums. Songs, he gets a plus 1.7, which is again impressive. We talk about being plus or minus a full point in this category. So he's plus almost a full 2 points. The way that he got to that was 41 registered songs in total. 7 of them were great. None of them were weak. So 7 comes out to be 17% of 41. You move that decimal place one spot over to the left, and there's nothing to minus there with no weak songs. That gives you a song score of plus 1.7. So really, really, really solid stuff here for No so far. Impact, he gets a 4. And he really was really close to a 3.5. Extremely close to a 3.5. And the main thing that got him to a 4 was a lot of his percentages. So I explained this to you guys more recently than I have in the beginning, but there's a lot of factors that go into each of these categories, right? And that's the main reason why I feel that these five categories that I have here cover every possible thing that could in any way, shape, or form be a factor in somebody being considered a good or a skillful or a talented or a successful artist or something like that. Now, we could agree to disagree on my formula and on my categories and stuff like that. That's really, in my opinion, the only thing to agree to disagree on. But the reason I'm saying that is when it comes to impact, there are a lot of things involved. It's not just as simple as this guy was popular, this guy wasn't. There's plenty of people that were super popular that most real hip-hop heads would tell you they had a negative impact on the culture. I'm sure Vanilla Ice would probably be one of them. I mean, Vanilla Ice sold a lot of records, bro. Vanilla Ice was extremely popular, at least at one point. I mean, everybody still knows who he is. It's just that people are not probably into him, at least in the United States, the way that they used to be. But if you talk to a lot of real hip-hop heads, they'll probably tell you, like, yeah, the dude was popular, but, you know, and he brought a lot of eyes to hip-hop, but maybe he brought the wrong eyes to hip-hop. Again, this is opinionated shit. I'm just trying to make a point that this is not a popularity contest. When we talk about impact, is your popularity going to be considered? 100% it is going to be considered. But the way that popularity is taken, the amount of material you put out, the number of artists that you influenced, all these things are very important as far as your impact on the hip-hop game is concerned. So you may have been extremely popular, but only had one album. Or you may have influenced a lot of people, but nobody aside from those people really knows who you are. You're not really selling any records. To the underground, you're a god, and they're sampling you and doing this and taking beats from you and repeating your lines, right? But the people that are listening to the radio have literally never heard your name before. So there's such opposite ends of the spectrum on so many different things here. So I just want to be clear that when you hear somebody's impact score, understand that, again, impact is its own formula, the same way that this entire thing is a formula. Everything is a formula. There's a certain mathematical black and white way that everybody is getting to each score that they're getting to individually and totally as a final rating. So again, I'm just trying to be clear that we can agree to disagree on the categories or discuss it or whatever. We can agree to disagree on the actual formula and stuff like that. What we can agree to disagree on, what's black and white and can't really be argued, is the actual numbers that are in here, because everything was just ran through a system and came out to be what it is. Now, that being said, like I said, he was very close to a 3.5, but there were just certain things that just edged him up to a 4. So yes, it's a below average score in the impact department, but I mean, I think that's to be expected for most underground people, aside from like underground legends that are really legitimately like the king of the underground. And, you know, like you think of Jedi Mind Tricks and people like that, for example. These are people that remained underground in style and never sold out and things like that. But at the same time, they do still sell a lot of records. It's not that they're not selling any records. It's just that they're not really on the radio. They're not really being pushed by the machine and stuff like that. So that's kind of the difference between underground and mainstream, is that mainstream, you have more of a machine behind you and you're on the radio and stuff like that. Underground, you're not using any of those things, but that doesn't mean that you can't be successful in the underground. So, sure, you could be an underground rapper and get an above average impact score, but that's not really typical of the underground. So, all things considered, No gets a below average score of 4 in the impact department here. Like I said, he made up for that in originality. He gets an 8.5 in the originality department. And again, when it comes to originality, there's a lot of things to be considered. Somebody's image, somebody's voice, somebody's delivery, somebody's overall sound, somebody's intentions. So there's just a lot of things, but, you know, with No, his voice, his delivery, his rhyme style, some song topics. And again, keep in mind that I didn't know what this group was going to sound like going into it, because I had never had Southern underground lyricists presented to me really before like that. So I was curious to see what these people were going to sound like. And while you can tell that they're from the South and listening to them because of their accents and some of the things that they bring up and stuff like that, so I don't want to say they weren't acting like Southerners, because they were representing where they were from, but at the same time, they had a non-typical sound from that area. So, you know, aside from some very minor things like him sampling a lot and stuff like that, he was a very original artist in almost every way. And again, keep in mind on top of that, that he was the main producer in Cunning Linguist. That's not to say that he produced every one of their songs, but I would say that percentage-wise, he produced the most of their songs out of anybody else that's produced their songs. So he's the main producer for Cunning Linguist, so he's making most of their beats and his beats and stuff on top of that. So all those things work in your favor as far as originality is concerned. So he gets a great score with an 8.5 there. Now you add all those 6 numbers up, because we do have the 2 extra points for the 2 classic albums, and you divide by 5, which is the number of categories. That gives you a final rating of 5.91, which puts No in 27th place of 242 artists done overall. Wow, so I actually have a lot to say about this finish here. First of all, that is definitely way higher than my prediction of being just outside the top 100, as No just barely misses the top 25 here so far. And this should easily put him inside the top 50 when this is all said and done, which is crazy, because in no way, shape, or form, I didn't even know this guy's name, and I've brought him up to some of my friends, and they're like, who? And these, listen, I'm not bringing this shit up to people who aren't into hip-hop. I'm not texting my alternative music friends and my R&B friends and bringing this shit up to them. You know what I'm saying? I'm texting the people that are into hip-hop. And I haven't texted a friend yet that knew who this dude was. So that's really fucking impressive stuff there. Second of all, it needs to be pointed out how capable this dude is of upping all these scores. I mean, he got all these numbers in just 41 songs. And I'm not trying to be dramatic and say No is one of the greatest rappers of all time, but man, this dude was good and had some serious potential. So I'm interested to see if he comes out with more material in the future and where that ultimately winds up landing him. But extremely impressive finish here from No, one way or the other, regardless of the circumstances. So major shout outs to No, both behind the mic and behind the boards, no question. And I do just want to point out really quickly that currently, he has officially become one of my favorite producers. I really liked a lot of the beats that this dude made. Again, that doesn't factor into their scoring, but, you know, just a nice side note there. I really did like a lot of the stuff this guy produced. So, again, shout outs to No for sure. Now we're going to move on to Natty, who was the last member to come into the group, but the second member to have a solo album out, which came out in 2013. So, unfortunately, for whatever reason, there is little to no information on Natty personally. I can't seem to find his date of birth, place of origin, nicknames, years active, nothing. The only thing I was really able to find at all was one small paragraph on some side sites I dug through, so let's just check that information out and then we can discuss Natty in more detail. Natty is a hip-hop artist from Kentucky, USA. He is one of the rappers in the underground hip-hop group Cunning Linguist alongside Deacon the Villain and MC/producer No. Okay, so we do at least see where he's from is listed as Kentucky, the same as No, so at least we got that. Not really much else there, but I did see when trying to dig up information that Natty was actually in a group with Deacon the Villain called Nifolk prior to Cunning Linguist ever being formed. So, if you remember earlier, I spoke about how No and Deacon had linked up to do an EP in which No was going to produce, and that wound up leading to the formation of the group Cunning Linguist. So, I guess it was only natural later on to get Natty in the group, as he was actually already in a group with Deacon prior. So, pretty cool stuff there that I thought was worthy of bringing up, especially since there's hardly any info on this guy at all. You know, I want to just bring up as much as I could possibly find, but I guess with that being all we could really find for now, let's check out my write-up of Natty. I have to say, I've never seen a group this similar in terms of technical skill level and rap style. Natty was good with both multisyllabic rhymes and with using different rhyme schemes. While he didn't rhyme on occasion and took shortcuts sometimes, he was very good at being able to keep a topic throughout a song. He was also the most consistent member of the group lyrically and had some cool wordplay. Like the other members, Natty was able to paint pictures and tell stories with his rhymes, leaving him well above average lyrically overall. While Natty joined the group later, he still qualified 6 albums for scoring with Cunning Linguist as well as 1 solo. Of the 7 in total, 2 were good, 4 were great, and 1 was a classic. Of his 69 songs registered, 7 were great, another 35 were good, and not a single one was weak. That means 60% of Natty's music was good or better, which is impressive. Natty also struggled in the impact department as well, with no major mainstream commercial success, not a very large body of work, and no artist influence to date. When it came to originality, the group was super unique as a whole, and Natty was no different with or without them. So that sounded like not only a pretty good write-up in general, but an extremely similar one to No. So I would expect a finish not too far away from where No is, but there are definitely some minor differences in scores here, so let's hop into the math here and see where Natty wound up. Lyrics, he gets a 6.5, and, you know, pretty much the exact same thing with Natty as it was for No. The only real difference, I will say, between Natty and No lyrically was that Natty was more consistent in the sense that he almost got to that 6.5, like, right away when he came in. And from song to song, verse to verse, like, you were pretty much getting the same thing from him almost every time. And he did climb gradually, slowly, but No was more of, okay, he's pretty good. And then, that wasn't his best verse. And then, he's good. And then a couple of, alright, he was alright on that. And then, oh shit, he snapped on that shit. Okay, he's very good. And it was kind of that kind of climb, whereas Natty was a little bit more, okay, this is what this dude can do, and he does it pretty much every time. So, same style, and really kind of got to the scores in a similar fashion, and same scores, but just a little bit different in consistency, and, you know, things like that. But at the end of the day, like I said, the entire group very, very similar, both in style and technical skill. So he gets a well above average score of a 6.5 in the lyrics department. Albums, he gets a 5.65 with one classic. Now, a couple of things to point out here. First of all, that's obviously a little bit lower. It's just over a full point lower than No's. So this is one of those things where you're kind of like, it's just the way the cards fell type of thing, where No was on this song, Natty was on that song, this one scored higher, this one had a lesser number of songs on the album, but he still had enough for it to count as an album, things like that. So a little bit more material for Natty than there was for No, not a dramatic amount more, but again, when you're talking about only 4 albums from No, Natty's 7, even though it's not a huge number, is almost double the amount of No's. So, again, depending on what each artist is doing on what song and what they're doing on their solo works and stuff like that, you can see that lyrically, obviously, these dudes were very similar, but when it came to song scores and album scores and stuff like that, there was a bit of a difference. So, a lower album score there for Natty than there was for No. Also, we see the one classic as opposed to 2 classics, and again, that's just the technicality. Noah's just happened to be a part of 2 albums. I believe one of them was from Cunning Linguist and one of them was solo. And I don't believe that Deacon or Natty had any solo classics. So that was the main difference there when it came to No, is that with the group, No had about a 33% classic rate. With himself, he had 100% classic rate. With the other guys, it was quite the opposite. With the group, they might have had such and such a classic rate, but by themselves, they had no classics. Again, I'm not trying to knock anybody. Same lyrical score here, so I'm not trying to cause a huge separation. But when it came to song for song, album for album, stuff like that, there was an advantage for No, for sure. So a great album score nonetheless there for Natty. I'm not trying to downplay this. A great album score, and he gets an extra point for the classic album. So again, I'm not trying to downplay it. I just have to point out, you know, everybody's against each other essentially here in this study, even though these guys are in a group. But I do just have to point out what each guy got and why he got it. Songs, Natty gets exactly a +1. So again, solid stuff there in the songs department. Plus or minus a full point. It really becomes impactful on your final rating. You know, significant to the point where it's like, all right, you know, that's going to hurt him. Well, that's going to help him, whatever. Again, the way he got there, 69 songs in total as opposed to No's 41 songs. So, again, not quite double, but almost there while still not being a large amount. 7 of them were great, which is actually the exact same number as No, but No's is obviously a better percentage because he had 7 great songs in a smaller body of work. So again, 7 great songs, 35 good songs for Natty, which, like I said, puts 60% of Natty's music at good or better. But the way that you get the song score is the 7 out of the 69 songs comes out to be just about 10%. You move the decimal place one spot over to the left, it gives you a plus 1, as there's no weak songs there to minus anything off of it. So he gets plus a point in the songs department, so solid stuff, but not quite the plus 1.7 that No got. Impact Natty gets a 3.5, and again, like I said, this is one of those things where Natty's close to a 4, No is close to a 3.5, but the math was what it was. Very, very similar here. A little bit smaller of a body of work for No. A little bit more classics. You know, no names of artist influence on either of their lists. No major mainstream commercial success. You do have No producing the majority of Cunning Linguist beats and stuff like that. So again, just a lot of things to take into consideration. The math was very, very close, but it just comes out to a 3.5 for Natty, where it was a 4 for No. But I think over time, should anybody, if any of the members come out with another album, whether it's solo or with the group, I think that they're probably either all going to wind up a 4 or all going to wind up a 3.5. Again, it's just speculation. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's just kind of a gut feeling that I have, is I think these guys will probably wind up evening out in that impact department one way or the other. If I had a guess, I think they're probably all going to go down to a 3.5, but one way or the other, it doesn't really matter. That's not a dramatic change on their final score. Like I spoke about with the songs thing, the full point or more is where it really starts to not dramatically change you, where it's going to move you 40 or 50 spots, but change you to the point where it's going to jump you some spots. It's not going to just move you back one or up one. It might move you 5 or 10 spots or something like that. But that's only a half a point difference there, so nothing too major. And originality, Natty gets a 7.5. Like I said, there's just a lot of different things to take into consideration. And while he wasn't necessarily as original as No, with No producing the majority of the beats and other things like that, and, you know, maybe voice or stuff like that, he was still a very original artist here for sure. And like I said at the end of his write-up, he showed that it was not just the group, it was him. So the group was original because it had 3 original artists in it. So when those artists did their own thing, they remained relatively original, to the point where nobody really lost anything from their originality score when they branched off and did one of their solo works. And it was like, oh, okay, well, the group is kind of original, but now this guy just turned around and made this shit, and this is super unoriginal. Like, he's biting everything, he's doing this. They were all very similar in that area. I don't really think there's probably going to wind up being any scores in any department that are plus or minus a full point difference from any of these guys. Again, I'm not looking at Deacon's math in front of my face right now. I'd have to scroll down, so I'm not 100% sure. But just having listened to the group as a whole and each member's solo works, I honestly don't think there's any gap like that that's going to be that big where it's going to make that much of a difference by itself on somebody's final rating. The group was very, very similar in sound, style, technical skill, stuff like that. So a very tight-knit and similar group that worked well together, no question. So you add again those 6 numbers up because we do have the extra point for the classic album. You divide by 5, which is the number of categories, and it gives you a final rating of 5.03, which puts Natty in 60th place of 242 artists done overall. So while that is behind No, it's not too far behind, with very similar scores in each department. And it also, once again, exceeds my predictions and expectations that I gave earlier in this show. So I've definitely been pretty off with my picks here today so far. But regardless, man, shoutouts to Natty of Cunning Linguist for sure. Now, the only member of the group left is Deacon the Villain, who has been with the group, is a founding member of the group from the beginning, but was actually the last member of the group to have a solo album out, which came out in 2015. His birth name is Willis Garnett Polk II, also known as Deacon the Villain. Origins listed as Versailles, Kentucky. His genres are listed as hip-hop and alternative hip-hop. And his years active are listed as 2000 to present. Now, I want to be clear really quick. When I talked earlier about how I felt it was relevant to point out that Noah was a producer and not just a rapper, I want to be clear. There are many, many rappers that also make beats. But when I say things like this, I'm talking about dudes that are doing the same amount, if not more, on the production side as they are on the microphone. And I mean that in a success standpoint as well. You can't just make 100 beats a day and give them to your friends who nobody knows who they are, but you're a super popular rapper and say, well, I've accomplished the same amount producing as I have rapping. As a matter of fact, I've made more beats than I've made songs with myself rapping. That doesn't matter. I'm not talking about that, bro. People like Eminem and stuff like that that make beats as well. And that's not to say that Eminem is not a producer, because technically speaking, he is. But when we refer to Eminem and you ask any random stranger, who is Eminem and what's his profession? Are we going to say a rapper or a producer? Most people, probably 99% of people, are going to say Eminem's a rapper. The dude is clearly a rapper first. So I just wanted to be clear that when we're talking about real rappers slash producers, we're not talking about guys who made a couple of beats that most people don't know about, or people that are absolute juggernauts on the microphone. And yes, they produce beats, but not to the same success that they rap or anything like that. We're talking more along the lines of guys like Havoc from Mobb Deep, No in this particular example, Pharrell, Kanye West, RZA, Jermaine Dupri, people like that. These are people, even Timbaland. Like Timbaland, I think, had at least one or two rap albums, or he definitely rapped on a song with Timbaland and Magoo, shit like that. So these are people that, even Dr. Dre, he didn't write his own music, but Dr. Dre's got two rap albums. So is Dr. Dre a rapper or a producer? Dr. Dre's a producer, bro. 100% Dr. Dre is a producer. Is he a rapper? I mean, he raps. I don't know if I'd call him a rapper, but he raps lyrics that people write for him. So I'm just trying to point out the difference. When I say rapper producer, I'm talking about guys that have the same amount or more accolades in their production catalog as they do in their rapper catalog. Now, earlier when we went over Noah's information, I pointed out that his place of origin being Atlanta didn't match the group's origin when we went over the group information earlier on the show, and I said I'd touch back on it later. So Deacon and Noah were both actually in their own separate groups from each other when they met, and make a long story short, Deacon eventually returned home to Kentucky and Noah went with him to be a producer for an EP that they were going to make, and wound up forming the group and rapping on multiple albums and stuff like that. So cool little side note as to how that happened and why the places of origin are listed as what they're listed. But other than that, I don't think there's too much there to talk about. So let's check out some additional background info on Deacon the Villain. Willis Garnett Polk II, better known by his stage name Deacon the Villain, is an American hip-hop recording artist and record producer from Versailles, Kentucky. He is a founding member of the hip-hop group Cunning Linguists. Deacon has produced for the likes of KRS-One, King T, and J-Ro from THQ Licks, among others. Deacon the Villain has been featured in notable journalism such as XXL, Pop Matters, Hip Hop DX, and Exclaim, among others. So like I talked about earlier, we see that Deacon is a founding member of the group, along with Noah, as well as some minor feathers to go along in his cap, with also being featured in certain magazines and producing for certain people and stuff like that. Not an overabundance of information there on Deacon the Villain, but we did get some nice little tidbits, so let's jump right into my write-up of him and see how that reads. As was the case with the other members of the group, I had never heard of Deacon the Villain by name prior to starting this study. He was also good with rhyme schemes and multisyllabic rhymes, as well as very good at keeping a topic. On top of that, he had his fair share of dope lines. He was a tiny bit more consistent than No, and a tiny bit less consistent than Natty, and still he finished tied lyrically with them as a well above average lyricist. Deacon had the most material of all the members, as he was part of all 8 Cunning Linguists albums, as well as having a solo album for a total of 9. Only one of those albums even went as low as good, with 6 being great and the other 2 being borderline classics. He registered 92 songs in total for scoring. 8 of them were great, 55 were good, and not a single one was weak. That puts over 2/3 of Deacon's music at good or better, which is very impressive. As was the case with the group as a whole, there was no major mainstream or commercial success, as well as no names on the list of artists influenced for Deacon the Villain thus far. Although Deacon and Natty both sounded similar and had similar rap styles, all of the group's members did a terrific job of remaining unique both in conjunction with and separate from the group in more ways than one. So again, sounds like a pretty positive write-up in general there for Deacon, and a very similar write-up to the prior two members, so let's take a look at the math here and see where he winds up. Lyrics, again, he gets a 6.5. All the members got the same score lyrically. Some were closer to a 6, some were closer to a 7, so I don't want to say that there was no separation, but definitely not enough separation to give any of these guys different scores, at least not with the amount of material that they have out right now. I kind of hope that they come out with more material. I like Noah's production, and I really would like to see a little bit more separation. I'm not the type of person to do this, where it's like, you know, whatever, they were all above average, you know? Like, I don't like to just throw that out there. If there's a way to separate these guys, I really would like to do that. But like I said, man, they were all very similar in technical skill and style and stuff like that. And they all only had one solo album, which is on top of everything crazy. I keep saying how similar these guys were, and they all had one solo album. So there were just so many things about these guys that were so, so similar. So they did wind up all getting the same lyrical score. They pretty much all got it in the same way. But I do think with a couple of more albums, there could be some separation, at least between one or two of them. A little bit more separation in some of these scores. I know they didn't all finish in the same spot, but they're not too far from each other, and the scores are very, very similar. But there is some differences, but same lyrical score here for Deacon as the other two guys. Well above average score of 6.5 in the lyrics department. Gotten to in the same way with a lot of rhyme schemes, multi-syllabic rhymes, being able to keep a topic and stuff like that. Deacon definitely had his fair share of dope lines, so they all get the same lyrical score. Albums, Deacon gets a 5.83 with zero classics. Now, again, a little bit strange here. So Deacon actually gets a higher album score than Natty, but Deacon the only one to not officially score any classics. No scored 2. Natty scored 1, Deacon scored none. Now, he did have 2 borderline classics, so that does go to show you that there was probably only a 0.1 difference in the score there that wound up giving Natty an extra point, whereas Deacon missed out on that. So again, like I said, I would like to see these guys come out with more stuff, as that is some technical aspects there that kind of could have went either way and might have made, you know, enough of a difference where maybe if these guys are finishing within 5 or 10 spots of each other, maybe they could be interchanged had that not been, you know, come out that way. But again, that's all speculation. And while they all had similar scores, it's not like his album score is astronomically higher. It is kind of crazy to see how he winds up getting a higher album score without registering any classics. So his album scores were a little bit more consistent, which is, again, crazy because I said that lyrically speaking, Natty was actually the most consistent lyrically. Album-wise, Deacon was the most consistent. So gets a little bit higher of an album score, but no official classics, so no extra points for any classic albums in the album department there for Deacon. But again, that's a great album score, so I'm not trying to take anything away from Deacon here. Songs, he gets a plus 0.87. So, No gets the plus 1.7. He had the smallest body of work and 7 great songs. Deacon actually has the most great songs out of all of them. No and Natty both had 7. No's song score was higher because he had 7 great songs and only 41 songs total, whereas Natty had 7 great songs out of 69 songs total. Deacon actually has the most great songs but the lowest song score, because he had the most songs in total with 92 as compared to 69 and 41. So over double the amount of No and 1.5 times the amount of Natty, but only 1 more great song throughout all of that. So 2/3 of his music good or better, which is slightly above Natty's 60%, still below No's 80%, but 8 songs out of a total 92 comes out to be 8.7%, so you slide that decimal point one spot over to the left, and you get a plus 0.87. So it's not necessarily totally a full point there for Deacon, but again, obviously much better to be gaining any type of points in a category where you could be losing points. And I mean, you're talking about a difference of a 0.13 between him and Natty there in the song score. So almost a full point there for Deacon. That's not really going to come out to be much, and it kind of evens out with how much he was above the album score. So very, very close stuff here between Deacon and Natty. And again, their voices, everything about them was very, very similar. They were the two most difficult to tell apart when listening to the Cunnilingus material and stuff like that. So interesting that different scores, but probably totally adding up to very similar amounts. Impact is pretty much the exact same here for Deacon as it was for Natty. Deacon, again, close to a 4. Natty, close to a 4. No gets the 4, but close to a 3.5. So all three of these guys very close. It just so happens that the math worked out to a 3.5 here for Deacon and Natty, whereas it worked out to a 4 for No. But like I said, I think one or two more albums, either solo or with the group, and a lot of these scores could be altered minorly, but if they're all altered minorly, then, you know, that may come out to a bigger difference at the end of the day. Originality, again, he gets the same thing as Natty with a 7.5, and I'm going to give the same reasoning. I don't want to get redundant and just keep repeating the same things over and over again here. Like I said, the group as a whole, very original, very similar in style and sound and things like that. So very similar scores, obviously, some different than others, but overall very similar. So, you know, a very solid score there of 7.5 in the originality department for Deacon. So you add all those five numbers up and you divide by 5, and that gives you a final rating of 4.84, which puts Deacon the Villain in 75th place of 242 artists done so far. So while this finishes behind both No and Natty, it still exceeded my expectations of where I thought these guys would generally finish. So I was off with all three of these guys here today, no doubt about that. I was obviously a little bit closer with Deacon than the other two, but still not close enough for me to give myself any type of credit for it. But nonetheless, man, I have to say, I like the majority of this group's music and each of their members' solo works and stuff like that. And, you know, I spoke earlier about Mr. SOS, who didn't wind up qualifying. I think he probably would have finished somewhere around 100, maybe slightly ahead, maybe in like the mid to late 80s or something like that. Again, speculation, I don't know. But I was just trying to make a point that when people don't make the cut, they're only going to finish so high. And to be quite honest with you, even finishing that high, it would have been hard for somebody that didn't make the cut. Not impossible, but very, very difficult. But all of these guys, you know, between the three members, they're all within 50 spots of each other. So some parity there between the two, but again, very similar scores, very similar styles, very similar sound, all stuff like that. A tight-knit group that worked very well as a unit. And I particularly enjoyed some of their music, specifically a lot of Noah's beats and his production and stuff like that. So, like I said, man, shout-outs to Deacon the Villain and Cunnilingus as a whole for finishes that were all higher than what I expected, no doubt about it. So, like I touched on earlier, we went over all of our lists last week, which in all reality we shouldn't have, but that doesn't matter because we did, and one way or the other, we're not getting any of our lists today, so. But don't forget, if you'd like to see any of these lists in writing, you can visit the Facebook page at www.facebook.com/tellofthetapespodcast. There's lots of shit on the page, from pictures to lists to schedules, questions, opinions, predictions, etc. So check that out if you're interested. It's definitely the best way to stay up to date and interact with the podcast, especially when we're on our breaks and stuff like that, for sure. You can also give the host website a visit at www.anchor.fm/tailofthetapes. Both of those links are spelled completely normally. On the host website, you'll see a support button. Please show your boy a little support. It's greatly appreciated. And that'll officially be a wrap for today's episode. Next week on episode 20, we'll be closing out our calendar year of 2001 with Virtuoso and G-Dep. And I'm suggesting not missing this one, as there's a huge surprise in it. I'll just leave you with that. Tale of the Tapes. Peace.
Tale of the Tapes. Might as well.